Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Shri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Deva, on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna. And that indirectly, he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Deva takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijayasakhe, the friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Deva. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Rajdham. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by the mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Deva is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome all of you to the Wednesday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Before I begin, I would like to request all of you, especially the senior most devotees, you know, to please bless me that I may speak something which is in line with our guru parampara, which is purifying to our hearts, and that our hearts become fertile ground for this sublime message to take root on. So, wow, wonderful. All of you, you know, made it through the verse. It's a different meter, but it's very nice because the Bhagavatam has so many different aspects to it. And one of those aspects is its poetry. If you see, this one, because we're now hearing a little bit about Bhishma Dev. So it goes into a different meter so that it can, you know, it goes like, oh, look, there's something different, something beautiful here. And it sort of plays with the meters and all that. In the Bhagavad Gita, generally we have like 2 or 3 meters. But in here in the Bhagavatam, we have so many meters. Even in the 5th canto, we even forgo all meters. It just goes into prose. So the Bhagavatam is quite a wonderful, beautiful literary composition. It's interesting. Here we're now going into a little bit of the description of what Bhishma Dev is seeing. A little bit into his mind. So it's talking about how Rati Rastu Me, you know, let there be attraction for me onto Vijaya Sakhe, onto the friend of Krishna, right? Onto the friend of Vijay, onto the friend of Arjuna, sorry, i.e. Krishna. And it is describing how, you know, Krishna, he has this body, this vapur, which is tribhuvana kamanam. Right, it is desired by all the three worlds. You know, and we sing when we see the deities in the morning. You know that kandar pakoti kamaniya, right? It is desired. You know, it is desired like millions of cupids. God bless you. So it is this wonderful, beautiful form that Prabhupada here is saying in the purport. It is not like anything we've seen in this world. The most beautiful object, the most beautiful person, anything that you can think of, is nothing compared to Krishna. How unfathomable is that? And it says, in all the three worlds. You know, not in this world and not in any of the three worlds. And then it describes that it's tamala varnam. It has the color of the tamal tree. And the dress, you know, this ambaram, it has this gouda color, this golden color, which is like you know, glittering like the sun rays, ravikara. And the lotus face, just see the contrast here. You know, it's a glittering yellow dress with a dark hueish complexion. Nice contrast there. And then the face of Krishna is like a lotus face. Abjam, anana abjam. And it is interesting here because the exact translation of alaka kula avrita is that the front is covered with locks of hair. But Prabhupada here puts with paintings of sandalwood pulp. So I didn't get through all the commentaries. Maybe one of the commentators was either seeing that, or maybe it was just Prabhupada just seeing, you know, Krishna with the different paintings of sandalwood pulp in. So it's you know, here we get like extra little bits of nectar. And furthermore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about how there, if you notice in here, it doesn't use the second person, you know, like oh my Lord, let me be attracted to you, you know, let my mind be attracted unto you. No, it uses like the third person. And the same thing is going to be in the next couple of verses. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the fact that he doesn't use a second person means that he's just absorbed right now in Vira Ras, in that mellow of chivalry. He's just absorbed in it. So good. Also, here Prabhupada is giving us a little, warning. God bless you. As to, when devotees hear that, what is the highest rasa? Madhurya. Oh, so I wanted to take Madhurya because it's the highest. Because I am the best, and I have to have the best, right? So let me have Madhurya. But here is Bhishmadev. Here is the grand sire, right? Here is a pure devotee. He's a Mahajan. He's telling us how to go about, doing things. Mahajanuyena kata sapanta, right? And he is not going like, oh, let me think of Krishna and the gopis. No. He is thinking of Krishna in this chivalrous mood, which is actually not even one of the five principal rasas, but it's actually the, one of the secondary rasas. But this is how he is seeing the Lord. This is how his natural love is expressing towards him. And this cannot be imitated. This is something that just flows naturally. It is, Prabhupada said that it's just like, we don't have to, try to like, oh, let me try to like, oh yeah, I'm, let me be a gopi and, gopi. And no. Just whatever is our eternal relationship with the Lord, that will develop naturally. Very, very naturally. It, Prabhupada said, like a boy or a girl, that comes into age. And they just develop these beautiful feelings, towards another, towards the opposite sex at that specific age. They don't have to like artificially put it on. Just when the right time comes, it comes automatically. And it is said here by Prabhupada that a genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas. And it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. And that Bhishmadev is a concrete example of this. So, we should just, learn to like, what is my eternal relationship with the Lord? Gopi Bhartu Kamalayor Das Das and Das. That is how we should see ourselves. That is what we should be cultivating initially. Just, what is my relationship with the Lord? I am the servant of the servant of his servants. One example of this, is Murari Gupta, right? Murari Gupta was this physician that during Lord Gauranga's time, and Lord Gauranga told Murari Gupta, you chant the names of Lord Ram, of Lord Krishna. Make Krishna your life and soul. So, Murari Gupta tried. He really tried. But there was one problem. What was that problem? He was a devotee of Ram. He was just, his life and soul was Ram, So, he was trying to say Krishna, 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 but all that came to his mind, to his heart was Ram, Ram, Ram. He was crying, he went to Lord Chaitanya and he said, I'm sorry, my Lord, I cannot do it, I cannot follow your instruction, but at the same time, I cannot disobey it. So, please allow me to just like give up my life at this moment. And the Lord said, do not worry. I was just testing you. Your chastity to Lord Ram is amazing. And you should always chant the names of Lord Ram. And so Murari Gupta was very happy. Why? Because Hanuman is an incarnation of sorry, Murari Gupta is an incarnation of Hanuman. So he just had Lord Ram in his heart. Like that, we all have, you know, our specific relationship with Krishna. And in time, it will come. It will come naturally, and whatever it is, it will be the best. And we won't, you know, we won't want anything else rather than to, like, have that relationship with the Lord. And in fact, this eternal loving relationship with the Lord is eternal, and it cannot be disturbed by anything material. Why are we so fearful in this material atmosphere? Because everything we have, absolutely everything, is bound to be exploited by material nature and then taken away from us. Absolutely everything. Our possessions, you know, our material possessions like that, our titles, our abilities, you know, even our intelligence, even our digestion. Everything will be taken away from us. So it is very fearful. But the one thing that cannot be taken away from us is our eternal loving relationship with the Lord. And because of that, the devotees, when they take shelter of the Lord, when they start, you know, developing this relationship with the Lord, they become fearless. They become absolutely fearless. One interesting thing that we see with Bhishma Dev is that we get a real glimpse into what, you know, in the previous verses we were hearing how, yes, he is absorbed, yes, you know, the Lord is with him, but now we are really getting, like, what is he relishing? What is it exactly? And Prabhupada here goes into such beautiful descriptions of how, you know, he never forgot, you know, he was fighting. He was in the middle of a fight. And what caught his attention? Was it the arrows coming at him? No. Was it, you know, Krishna, you know, dodging his arrows by the expert maneuvering of the chariot? No. It was Krishna's garments. Krishna is so attractive that even just his garments are attractive. So just to get us a little bit into the absorption of Bhishma Dev, because this is very important, you know, our being able to be absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord is very important, because this is what purifies us. Our process is learning to hear with relish the qualities, the pastimes, the features of the Lord. And because of that, our heart just becomes cleansed of all the impurities. Such a beautiful process, isn't it? So, with your permission, I would like to read a little bit from the Mahabharata specifically on this scene, just to get us a little bit into what is Bhishma Dev seeing. It's just 2 pages, so please do not freak out. So, at that time, Bhishma and Arjuna arrived at the battle, and the battle raged between the two sides. Both armies were fearless. Embracing a hero's death, their minds fixed on heaven, they rushed at their foes with uplifted weapons. Many warriors fell to the ground and lay there laughing as they died. Horses dashed out wildly with their warriors hanging lifeless from the saddle. Chariot fighters fell from their cars and their armor smashed, and their limbs severed. So many men were slain, and it appeared as if a river of blood flowed across the earth, carrying heads, arms, legs, and torsos. Heroes were cheered by the side, and cowards became afraid. So this is the scene. This is where Krishna and Arjuna are at this moment. But, you know, jumping on a little bit further so that we can get to the good part. Krishna looked astonished to see Bhishma's prowess. It seemed like the Kuru warrior would consume the three worlds. Bhishma stood in battle like the destroyer on the day of the universal dissolution. Seeing him killing the foremost Pandava warriors and that Arjuna was not fighting to his full power, Krishna became thoughtful. Bhishma could kill the combined armies of the gods and asuras if left unchecked. Unless Arjuna did something, then even he would succumb to Bhishma's deadly shafts. Already he was sorely afflicted. Krishna reflected, I will personally slay Bhishma. I cannot tolerate the slaughter of the Pandavas. Arjuna is not doing what he should do out of his respect for Bhishma. Therefore, I will lighten the Pandavas' load by killing the best of men in battle. Unquote. Even as Krishna thought in this way, Bhishma stepped up his attack. By employing celestial weapons, he fired so many arrows that all points of the compass around Arjuna were covered. Neither the sky, the earth, nor the sun could be seen. Yudhishthira's troops were crushed and forced back by the irresistible wall of arrows. Jumping down from their cars, they fled in terror. Arjuna's chariot was entirely shrouded. Neither he nor Krishna were visible. Only his tall standard could be seen. Seeing him hard-pressed, Drishtadyumna blew his conch and came to his aid. Krishna whirled Arjuna's chariot around and managed to evade Bhishma's attack. Seeing Drishtadyumna coming up, he called out, O hero of the Sinis, our men are retreating. The grandfather is slaying them like a lion killing deer. Behold, I will myself kill that hero of fixed vows along with all his followers and the sons of Dhritarashtra. O Sadvata chief, no one can escape me when I'm angry. With great joy, I will secure the kingdom for Ajatashatru. Krishna threw down the reins and leapt from the chariot. Taking up a nearby chariot wheel, he raised it above his head as if it were his own favorite weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra. He ran toward Bhishma as a lion might run at an elephant. Jai Shri Radha Nanda, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai. He ran toward Bhishma as a lion might run at an elephant. The end of his yellow silk garment fluttered in the dusty air, resembling lightning dancing in a dark cloud. The wheel of his hand seemed to glow in his own effulgence, and it looked as beautiful as the primeval lotus from which Brahma was born. Krishna's dark arm appeared like a stalk of lotus, and his charming face, covered with beads of perspiration, was its filament. Seeing Krishna intent on Bhishma's destruction, the crews felt their end was near. Krishna looked like the all-destroying Sambartaka cloud, which appears at the end of the millennium. Bhishma's limbs trembled and his eyes flooded with tears. Here was the Lord of the universe, bringing his own promise to protect his devotee. The Kuru hero threw down his weapons and stretched out his arms. As Krishna approached him, he called out, Come, come, my Lord, O Supreme Deity, Lord of all gods, I bow to you. Seeing you forsake your vow to save your friend and thus fulfilling my own desire, I am satisfied. Fell me from this chariot, O Keshava. Killed by you, O Janardhan, I will obtain great, great good fortune. My fame and dignity will be celebrated throughout the worlds. Then it keeps going, but I don't want to take all the time. It's amazing. This version of the Mahabharata by Krishna Dharma. It's a real page turner. So this is Bhishma's absorption into it. And one thing that Srila Prabhupada here is also mentioning is Bhishma's appreciation for Arjuna. Did you notice how he is using the word, let me see, where was it? Vijaya Sake, you know, the friend of the conqueror. So, Bhishma, especially at this moment, he is thinking and appreciating the relationship of Krishna and Arjuna. He's appreciating how Arjuna has such a close relationship with Krishna that Krishna himself decided to be his own charioteer. You know, it's like, imagine that your guru suddenly decides to, you know, drive a car with you. You know, drive the car for you. It's like, oh my God, like, no, let me drive the car for you, Maharaj, right? No. Krishna was there. You know, so I will drive you. such a humble position of Krishna. And so this is what Bhishma is seeing. And also, he's not saying, oh, Arjuna Sakha. He's not even saying Arjuna Sakha. He's saying Vijaya Sakhe. Why? Because he's also, just relishing, the fact that Arjuna is the conqueror. This is such an important lesson for us. Because this appreciation is what Vaishnavas are all about. Bhishma was not saying look at me, just thinking about me at that time of death. Yeah, I'm the man. I am such a, and Bhishma was the man. He was the grandsire. Nowadays, we have all of these movies, Aquaman, right? I was watching it on the plane here because, there was nothing else to do, and it's always difficult when you're on a plane. You say, I'm not going to watch anything. And then you end up watching the one on the on the right or the left or the one, across like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to give in. But I'm going to try to find, one that I can use for preaching purposes later. At least, dovetail that. So there was this Aquaman. And the great thing about it was that, it was this thing between, a human and a celestial, and there it was one of the mer people, came together and they created this, incredible being, that was Aquaman, that had special powers and all that stuff. Well, here we have Bhishma, who is actually the son of a human and a celestial. Everything is a perverted reflection we see. Here we have, Bhishma. He's the son of a human, of a king, of the emperor of the world, with a celestial, and not just any celestial, but Mother Ganga. And he was taken when he was young to be trained by all the best people in the universe. So here's really the grandsire. He learned scriptures from Brihaspati. He got his martial training from Parashuram. This is a person like no other. And he had a boon from his father that he could not die until he wished so. So, here is an incredible person, but here he is appreciating his grandson. That is Vaishnava. He's appreciating what wonderful, relationship, my grandson has with Krishna. If we learn to develop this, appreciation for others, we will advance ourselves. It's such an incredible thing, this Krishna consciousness, that you don't even have to do anything. You just have to really appreciate. Not that we just appreciate and forget about doing things, but it's such an easy process that, just by having a simple, loving heart towards Krishna and his devotees, we can make advancement. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear two main points always being stressed. One is chant the names of the Lord, and two, never criticize the devotees. These two simple things are constantly hammered on and on in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. An example, of what happens when we do the opposite, when we criticize devotees, is given in the life of Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala was this, very aristocratic Brahmin, Brahmin from Bengal. Navadvip, nonetheless. Navadvip at that moment was like Oxford, right now it is for here, right? It's the high seat of learning, or Cambridge, So imagine he's one of the distinguished people from Oxford or Cambridge. That was Gopal Chapala. And here was Srivas Thakur, who was not allowing him to go into his private, evening darshans with Lord Chaitanya. And they were having some amazing, uproaring kirtans like we just had, you know, a few minutes ago. They were having some really great kirtans. And Gopal Chapala was out. He was out of it. And so he was thinking like, you know, who are these people to reject me? Who are these people to reject me? Like, I am one of the highest, you know, Brahmins here. You know, I'll show them. I'll show that Srivast Thakur. Because he said, that Srivast Thakur, he is the leader of all these people. I'm going to show him. It's his house. So he decided to take all of this paraphernalia that was specially meant for the worship of goddess Bhavani, like a red flower and, you know, things like that. And he put it right in front of Srivast Thakur's house, you know, just to like, so that people could see like, oh, let everybody see that he's a Shakta. Because at that point, you know, like the Vaishnavas, you know, compared, the Shaktas, they were considered to be, you know, like a lesser, like fallen like that because of the standards that they had, you know, like, they would drink alcohol and offer it to the goddess and also eat meat. So, you know, this was like low standard. So he wanted to make everybody say like, oh, Srivast Thakur is a Shakta. So he put that there. And then what did Srivast Thakur do? Did he go around and, you know, and say like, oh no, you know, this was not me? No. He advertised it like, hey, everybody, come. Come, just see this. You know, just see what is happening here. You know, I'm a Shakta. Just see the plate that is here. But everybody just knew that, yeah, that's not it. You know, that's not him. So they just, you know, removed that and had a sweeper come in and wash that place and, you know, purify it. And so nothing happened to Srivas. But what happened to Gopal Chapala? He attained leprosy. Leprosy is such a, you know, horrible disease. Because it really like puts you in such a difficult condition. It is painful because the flesh becomes rotten. The limbs start, you know, falling off. You are contagious and you smell bad. And so you are rejected from society. You know, at least people with cancer and AIDS and all this thing, they're still, you know, within society in some way or other. People with leprosy, they just have to leave. And so he was ousted from the society. From that society which he so much, you know, wanted to show off that he was on top of. Now he was not even at the lowest stage. He was out of it. He was suffering miserably, and he saw Lord Chaitanya once coming down the road, and he begged his forgiveness. He said, "Like, my dear Lord Chaitanya, please, please, I'm sorry, I did this. Please, you know, be merciful unto me. Take away this." And what did Lord Chaitanya say? "Can't do anything. Sorry. It's beyond my power. Here is the Lord of all Lords. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. He is Radha and Krishna combined. And Krishna is the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. He is the best well-wishing friend of everyone." Right? And he says, "I cannot help you." "How is this?" He said, "Unless you go and ask forgiveness from Srivast Thakur himself, I cannot do anything for you." And it was not until Gopal Chapala went and begged forgiveness from Srivast Thakur himself that he attained, you know, forgiveness and his leprosy went away. So criticizing devotees has a pernicious effect on us. And glorifying devotees, appreciating them, allows us to, be, you know, become forward in our in our spiritual life. And this all comes from the association. We want to associate with devotees that are constantly glorifying with a thousand mouths even the smallest little thing that another devotee does. It is so much nectar, isn't it? It's incredible nectar to hear devotees when they're glorifying somebody else. You just want to keep hearing and hearing. On the other hand, when you hear blasphemy of other devotees, that just poisons the heart like anything. It makes you critical. It makes you, like angry. And it ruins your day, basically. So the people that we associate with, that will determine our values. God bless you. That will determine who, we will become. So we want to find those devotees, even if they're neophyte or if they're advanced, that are constantly glorifying the Lord, that are constantly glorifying the devotees. That will make us, that will make our life joyous and will also allow us to advance further on in devotional service. One other thing that is important is not to hear Mayavad philosophy, because that also affects us. Because even though in some ways we hear that, we say like, well, what they're saying is actually very nice. It's completely in line with Krishna consciousness. Yes, it's in line 99% of it. But that 1%, that little 1% is the drop of poison in the glass of milk. And so when we hear that, imperceptibly, we're getting poisoned. So when we take the nectar of listening to bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada and understanding his instructions and hearing devotees, relishing, these scriptures, then, it will be soon when we will be able to go back home, back to Godhead. So I'll stop here, and if there are any questions, comments, chastisements, or wisecracks, now is the time.